The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Lexi Brinkley, and Aviana Barrientos. Did everybody have a good weekend?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah, yesterday was your birthday. Mm-hmm. 26.
The big 2-6.
Yeah, what'd you do?
We just swam and hung out.
Good.
Drank a lot of beer. It's one way for mom to let loose.
Drink a lot. You know, they say that beer makes, and you're breastfeeding, so beer makes milk.
Yeah.
That's what they say because of the yeast, right?
I'm sure.
I've heard that for years, that if you want
a
your
dark
milk.
Beer.
Well, yeah, if you want your milk to let down or if you want to produce more milk. I grab my boobs when I say that. I don't know why. Whenever I'm talking about boobs, I always grab my own. I don't know why I do that. Do you ever do that?
No.
I don't know what's up with me.
If you want to make milk, I wish there was a video camera in here.
There is. Well, the security camera. Yeah.
It's okay. She's facing the other way.
Oh, my gosh. Well, hopefully
no one's watching.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, Diamond, I asked you right before we went live because a lot of people don't know that Diamond does. She does a show called Diamond Hearts Theme Parks. This girl's obsessed with theme parks, and it's on Sundays at 10 a.m. and 11:90 here in Dallas, Texas, for those of you listening in Houston or in California. And so you said, I asked you, what did you talk about on your last broadcast? You said Toy Story 4. So, you know, everybody's looking for things to do, including me, over the holiday weekend with my children. And as they get older, it gets more and more difficult. Going to the movies is an easy option because everybody's kind of happy. They're entertained for a couple of hours. And so tell us about the new Toy Story 4, because I don't really follow Disney now that my kids aren't little.
Oh, I thought it was adorable. We just ranked all four of the Toy Story movies. You guys have seen them. So We ranked them and picked our favorite. But Toy Story 4 was incredible.
Really?
It was adorable. And it was a good addition to the trilogy.
Oh, nice.
So, I didn't see the third one.
I want to see it. Oh, it was so good.
I think I've seen 1 and 2. You know, I mean, yeah. I watch so many Disney movies. They all seem the same. It's kind of like when you date women that all look the same. They all seem the same. You can't, like, who's it? It's a famous line, actually, from the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Where the guy says, they all look the same to me, when this guy's trying to hook him up with a girl. Mm. And they all look the same. But that's what he liked about, what was her name? Her real name is Nia.
I don't even think I've ever seen that movie.
Are you serious?
I know. It's and you always one. Reference to it. And I'm like, I've never seen that.
It's such a good movie.
Yeah.
It's just a really good movie on so many different levels. And, you know,
I just think it's very cultural. I think of Joey from Friends and all of his sisters that look alike.
Yeah. Because Chandler hooks up with one.
And he can't remember which one.
That episode is so funny. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, so tell us, Toy Story 4, what is it about the movie? And so is it out right now? And would you encourage everyone to go see it?
Yeah, it came out in theaters last week and it's doing really well. And yeah, I definitely would. You would think that they would want to stop after 3 because it was a perfect trilogy, but the fourth one's really funny and it's a good time if you're having a rough day and need to cheer yourself up or something. It's really fun and sweet.
Wow. It's amazing to see like the animation from Toy Story 1 and then go all the way to like
I have a niece
four.
That's an animator. She works for Pixar and then she married a guy from Disney. So they have like this, they're both very talented artistically. And then they had a son and he's very artistically talented. He actually sells his art at a farm, like a
Saturday type thing.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
We can't farmer's market.
Farmer's market. He sells his art at a farmer's market, I think in San Diego or an outlying area, several times a year.
But I wonder what that's like having two like artist parents that are, I feel like, don't opposites attract? Don't you need someone to like balance you out? That's kind of a little different.
But he's, I think my niece, I should know this, but she's more of a digital illustrator for Pixar and he is more of one that draws for Disney. Hmm. So
interesting.
Or old, I don't know, but yeah. Hmm. Well, opposites attract, but they have the same career. So I would think, you know.
I just feel like that's a lot, like artistic people are very I don't know.
What do you want to say,
what
Lexi?
Are you going to say?
No, I'm going to defend Lexi.
I feel like you're going somewhere with
I
this.
I just feel like they're creative. They're always like, I don't know. Their brains are always.
More left brain?
Yeah. I just feel like they would need someone who's a little more right brain to like balance them out. Or whatever
organized.
It is.
Whichever
yeah.
way it is.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I wonder how that marriage works.
Hmm.
I mean, clearly it's working.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe anyways,
it's not.
That's a different topic for a different day. I was just wondering.
Well, speaking of topics for today, we're going to be talking with Dr. Judd Brewer. And I can't even tell you how good his book, The Craving Mind, is. From cigarettes to smartphones to love, why we get hooked and how we can break bad habits. It's incredibly cranial is all I can tell you. He's a PhD and a medical doctor. And the book will take you into the deep water, but in a very good way. It'll really stretch your brain. And it gives you a lot of great advice, understanding what's really going on in the human mind and the craving mind mm-hmm. That we all have. We all have cravings for lots of different things.
Yep.
I want to know, what's my biggest craving?
Ooh.
I don't know. I like to mix my addictions up. I say that all the time, but I do. So
that's sugar all the way.
Yeah,
sugar?
For sure.
Sugar?
Like, I am highly addicted to sugar.
Yeah.
Same here.
I need help.
It's hard.
It's hard. It is hard.
Or it can be.
Well, I've been doing really good, though. I have. I've been eating fruits and stuff to, like, ease my craving, but man.
Well, you know, since I was really sick, for those of you that didn't hear last week, I struggled with shingles the beginning of it, not even knowing what it was until it hit me, and then it just knocked me down for a couple of weeks. But one of the things that I have been doing is, and I don't even eat a lot of sugar, but I have been meticulous about how much sugar I've ingested, and it really does help, and I'm losing weight. I actually worked out yesterday, like lifting weights, like really doing
a good
workout, and it's amazing. It did. It felt great. Like it, I needed it so much. I felt like I was 100 years old last week. And then I threw my back out and I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening to me?
Oh yeah, that was rough. Man, she could not catch a break.
I couldn't. And like last Friday, Avi literally had to walk me out of the building.
Yeah.
She had to meet me at the Kratom store to get painkillers. Then she had to take me across.
Took
she was like my handler.
To the chiropractor.
Walked me into the building. I actually felt like I needed a wheelchair. It was so bad.
It was really bad.
I was dying on the way down the elevator. And then
she
we saw Dan.
She was
laying
on the floor in the studio. She was doing stretches everywhere. She was crawling.
It was terrible.
It was bad.
But, you know, I tell you what, that Kratom knocked that pain out of me. And luckily, I didn't have a slip disc. I just had a pulled muscle. They put me on this machine that kept bending me back and forth and
stretching you out.
What was that?
I don't know.
At the chiropractor?
Yeah.
It like
I was
bends
like on a machine.
Legs.
They kept bending my body in half and popping it back up and with my face down. It was just weird. I was so out of it though because the pain was so intense that it was just like whatever, do whatever, stop the pain.
Hey, but you walked a little bit straighter after that.
I did, and they popped my leg or popped my hips.
Mm.
That's all they did. They didn't want to do anything else because I was in so much pain. But
yeah.
That's the first time I'd ever been to a chiropractor.
I've never been to one either.
Yeah. And he was really nice. What was his name?
Dr. Mark Currington.
Yeah. She's obviously the one that told me to it.
Yeah.
Or told me about it. It was funny. So then we went from there and then we went to Brewed and Pressed.
Yeah. Got
and
some
Got some juice.
We had a whole day.
I was just trying to get well. But that's how valuable our health is. Mm-hmm. It's so valuable. And in an instant like that, you can feel like you're 100 years old. And so it just really motivated me to quit. Here's what I really want to say. Quit dicking around.
Ooh.
Can you say that? Am I in trouble?
No, you're good.
Yeah, that's fine. You're good.
Okay. I've never wanted to say that on the air, but really, and get my, like, hello, Bernadette, you know, you get one opportunity in this life to be healthy. And some people don't. Some people are born unhealthy and God bless them, the struggles that they have. And so if you do have health, you need to take care of yourself. You have, you know, we're going to be talking about this with Kip next week. You have an obligation to your friends and your family to take good care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You do. To be happy. That means mentally, emotionally, spiritually, to be happy so that people around you can be happy. Nobody wants to be around a cranky pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, anyway.
Which we can all be cranky pants.
Yeah.
I've been cranky pants for sure.
Yeah. Well, life will do that to you. And
sometimes you just need a day.
Yeah.
And I think I had that day finally.
A cranky day?
No, a day where I like let loose and just relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I feel like a new person.
You don't do the CBD every day, do you?
No.
You should.
Can I do it while breastfeeding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. I think. I don't know.
We can ask.
We can. Well, you know what? We'll ask Hillary that. We've got Hillary Morse coming up today. We're talking about the ABCs of CBD. She is the co-founder of Honest Hemp, and she graduated from Cornell. She's also got over 20 years in the entertainment publicity experience, and we're going to have a great show today with Dr. Judd Brewer as well, as I said. He's a medical doctor and a PhD. We're going to be talking about anxiety and burnout in the workplace, and we're coming up, actually, on one of the few breaks that we get all year, and I'm already worried that I'm going to get so restless, but I guess that's a good thing, right? I got a little fire under my you-know-what.
Yep.
So, everyone, stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss it. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. KetoMed.com. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. What a perfect song. Everyone, welcome. Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, Lexi Brinkley, and Dr. Judd Brewer. He is a medical doctor and a PhD. He is the author of The Craving Mind, From Cigarettes to Smartphones to Love, Why We Get Hooked and How We Can Break Bad Habits. He is an internationally known thought leader in the field of habit change and the science of self-mastery. Dr. Brewer is the director of research and innovation at Brown University's Mindfulness Center and associate professor of psychiatry at the medical school as well. Dr. Brewer has developed novel mindfulness programs for habit changing, including smoking, stress eating, and anxiety. You can follow him on Twitter at Judd Brewer or visit his website, drjudd.com. The book, The Craving Mind, is a fantastic book. I have to tell you, it's full of so much information, as I said in the opening. And if you want to go into the deep water, it's a great book to pick up, but not in a bad way, in a good way. And it's so good to have you back. How are you doing today, Dr. Brewer?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, I say go to the deep water. I actually put a post on Instagram on the story because it's your book is just so thought-provoking and so intelligent. For anybody that really wants a really good, deep read, I highly recommend it.
No, thank you.
You're welcome. Well, today we're talking about anxiety and burnout in the workplace. So what causes workplace burnout? And let me just stop. Let me go there because I've got so many questions I want to ask you. What causes workplace burnout?
Yeah, if we look at some of the factors and causes, there's actually a theme that comes up with several of them. So, for example, it's been suggested that lack of control and inability to influence decisions that affect our jobs, unclear job expectations, work-life imbalance, and even working in a chaotic or high-pressure environment, a lot of those share a common feature, which is unpredictability, right? If we don't feel like we've got control, if we're in a chaotic environment where we're not sure what's going on, if it's unclear what our job expectations are, a lot of these can actually feed and foster anxiety because our brains just do not like things that are unpredictable. Our brains are set up to help us try to predict what the future is. And anytime that future is uncertain, the more uncertainty there is, the more anxiety we're likely to have.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a fertile ground for problems.
Yeah, well, you know, there's this is such a broad subject. It really is because, first of all, anxiety and burnout in the workplace. You know, before we went live, I was saying to Lexi, she's a mother, a new mother. She's got a 6-month-old, and I said to her, "I bet you're burnt out, aren't you, from being a mother?" Because this happens to a lot of moms too. Dr. Brewer, would you agree?
Well, not being a mother myself.
Yeah.
I have to caveat that. But yes, it certainly can be the case. what I've observed is that, you know, there's a lot of unpredictability in motherhood, especially early on as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there a way to identify before you hit the actual burnout? And, you know, I have to say, this is one of our breaks coming up on radio here, surrounding the 4th of July upcoming holiday. And I'm such a workaholic, and I always have been. I get a little bit of anxiety from being off. Is that normal?
Well, if we are used to working a lot and work gives us some type of a reward, that can certainly get fostered, you know, as a almost like a habit. You know, we're used to working, and then when we're not working, our brain says, hey, shouldn't you be working?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
And then we say, oh, maybe I should be working. We start to question even times when it'd probably be most helpful for us to take a break.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there a way to identify it, like before it's actually coming, before you reach the breaking point?
I think one thing in general that's helpful is to just really understand how our minds work and start to see very clearly what habitual behaviors we start to form before we get locked into those habit loops and don't even notice them. So, for example, with anxiety, if there's stress or there's some type of a unpleasant feeling, that can trigger some type of worry thinking,
mm-hmm.
Which then can, you know, as we worry, we can start to feel like we're a little bit more in control. So even just starting to understand that habit loop, which has some evolutionary basis to it,
mm-hmm.
can help us start to understand our minds a bit more. So that's a good place to start.
Yeah. Well, you know, okay, so I wrote down some notes as I was reading your book yesterday and preparing, you know, for this topic and burnout. And some of the things that I was thinking is that does someone who has actual passion for what they do they suffer with as much burnout? Is this associated with more with doing something that you're not passionate about? Is that a contributing factor?
I think that certainly can be a contributing factor. When we're passionate about something, we're less likely to get burnt out. But there's also a lot of focus and drive there, and that can also feel like, you know, we're the one in the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, so what about people that continue to work at a job that causes them a lot of anxiety? What advice would you give to them?
Well, I would start by saying, you know, first understand, try to learn how your mind works. That's a recurring theme for me, because if we don't understand our own minds, there's not a lot that we can do. We're just going to become slaves there. And then once we understand that, we can start to see what factors we do have some control over and which ones we don't, and to see, you know, it helps us be able to kind of manage our anxiety a little bit. And once we can manage our own anxiety, then we can start to see where there might be things that we can affect in our workplaces, and where, you know, we might get a better sense for, wow, I'm really working in a toxic work environment. I need to make some change here, whether personally or, you know, or with my coworkers.
Well, I'm looking at some of the job burnout symptoms for our listeners out there. And here's a list of them. Ask yourself, have you become cynical or critical at work? Do you drag yourself to work and have trouble getting started? Have you become irritable or impatient with coworkers, customers, or clients? Do you lack the energy to be consistently productive? Do you find it hard to concentrate? Are these all things that you would feel if you're suffering from job burnout?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. We even just recently completed a study with anxious physicians,
mm-hmm.
And looked at their burnout as well, and they were reporting very much the same thing. Interestingly, one reason we did this study was we were looking to see whether there's a correlation between anxiety and burnout, and found that there's a very strong correlation between anxiety and certain aspects of burnout, that callousness and, you know, that type of stuff that you mentioned. But interestingly, we also found that we could target the anxiety itself using app-based mindfulness training, and that with that, we could get a huge reduction in, you know, clinically validated anxiety scores. These are in anxious physicians. And we also saw a large reduction in burnout as well, just using, you know, we have this app called Unwinding Anxiety. So that suggests that anxiety and burnout can be, at least aspects of burnout can be, pretty intimately linked.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is, you know, we can even use app-based mindfulness training to start to target some of the individual factors. It's not going to fix the, you know, the workplace factors themselves. You know, it's not going to suddenly make our boss nicer, but it can certainly address some of the individual pieces.
Well, yeah, and whether you're a mother or you're an boss or the employer or employee, you have to ask yourself questions. These are in my notes too. Like, is it because you're not getting enough rest? You're not quieting your mind? Maybe, like as I said, you're not passionate about your job, or maybe you don't have your goals set out of what you really want to do, and that's at the very root of it. And gratitude. I think that so many people that don't have jobs or people that do don't understand that there's a lot of people that don't have jobs. And getting to a place of gratitude has got to contribute to lessening your anxiety, don't you think, a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So if we just notice what the feeling of anxiety feels like, does it feel more like a closed down state or an opened up state?
You're asking
anxious.
What you mean about when I take time off?
No. Just anxiety itself.
Oh.
Does it feel closed or open?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. Probably closed.
Yeah. So how about gratitude? Does it feel more closed or open?
Open.
Yeah.
So I have a tremendous gratitude. I'm always going around thanking everyone for everything and thanking the universe for everything, because I guess I was trained that way by my parents.
It's funny you mention that, because that's actually how we can start to tap into some of these reward-based learning systems where, you know, open states actually feel better than when we're closed down.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you're pointing out, when we're even just practicing gratitude, we might be actually literally opening ourselves up to something that is less likely to lead to burnout.
Well, it's the mindfulness, like you say. You know, I was talking about this with a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago about, you know, when she and I grew up, you know, we would sit at the dinner table, and she's Irish too. I'm half Irish, half Italian. And so, and my mother was Irish. So my mother was very big on always, you know, we would sit at dinner and we would be thankful for the food. And my father too, he was very thankful, an Italian immigrant, and just being thankful for the food. And I don't think people do that anymore, or it's not as popular, maybe, or as, what do I want to say? It's not a habit like it once was years ago. You never sat at a table, at least I didn't, without being thankful for the food.
Yeah. So even bringing those simple things back in can help us be aware of just what it feels like to be grateful.
Yeah.
That can help.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there something that an employer can do to help prevent workplace burnout for their employees? Because, you know, nobody wants their employees to be unhappy, because that cuts down on productivity. So what can employers do?
Great question. I think there are a number of different things that they can do, and it probably starts by just getting a temperature for what the workplace is like. You know, are there unreasonable expectations that are coming down from, you know, from the top, that can be managed? Are the employees being supported? Are they being listened to? You know, there are a number of different things that can be put into play.
Well, you know what? We're going to talk more about this. You're staying with us. I want to continue talking about workplace burnout and empathy fatigue. I'm not even sure I know what that is, but I want to know. So everyone stay tuned. More coming up with Dr. Judd Brewer. You're not going to want to miss this. He is the author of The Craving Mind, From Cigarettes to Smartphones to Love, Why We Get Hooked, and How We Can Break Bad Habits. Stay tuned. You are listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. KetoMed.com. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Gosh, I love this song. I haven't heard it in years. What's the name of it, Diamond? Taking Care of Business, right? I love it. I might just want to listen for a bit. Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, Lexi Brinkley, and Dr. Judd Brewer. He is a medical doctor and a PhD. If you're just now joining us, Dr. Judd Brewer is the author of The Craving Mind, From Cigarettes to Smartphones to Love, and Why We Get Hooked, and How We Can Break Bad Habits. He is an internationally known thought leader in the field of habit change and the science of self-mastery. It is such an honor to have him on the show with us again today. You can follow him on Twitter at Judd Brewer or visit his website, drjudd.com. We're talking about anxiety and burnout in the workplace. We've been talking about a lot of different things, even how gratitude can impact that. So, you know, Dr. Brewer, gosh, where do I want to start here? Hold on. Let me look at my questions that I have written down. So I know we were going to segue into workplace burnout and empathy fatigue. So let's go there. So how does empathy fatigue relate to workplace burnout?
It's a great question. So let's just start with a simple definition of empathy. It's basically being able to put ourselves in someone else's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the workplace that I know the best is, you know, hospital, medicine clinics. So just use that as an example. You know, if I'm working in my clinic and my patients are all coming in because they're suffering, because they're sick, if I put myself in their shoes, I'm basically suffering 40 to 60 or 80 hours a week, however long I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
So that can obviously lead to empathy fatigue in mental health professionals and other physicians, and this can be extrapolated to the work, to any workplace where we're kind of trying to be able to empathize with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And I think it is so important to empathize too, isn't it? To have a better understanding, a deeper understanding of what that person may be going through, right?
Yes. So I think there's a way to work with this that where we're not getting burnt out ourselves.
And okay.
That's something I wrote a book chapter about this. And I think this is where some of our app-based mindfulness training programs have been shown to help, you know, when we help people with their not taking things personally themselves,
mm-hmm.
for example, with our Unwinding Anxiety program, they're less likely to get empathy fatigue, which is what we've seen when there's a reduction in burnout when mm-hmm. folks are just getting an anxiety program. So how does that work? Well, what we do know is, you know, if we take things personally, then we, you know, therefore we're more likely to get burnt out. But we can actually be with somebody in a compassionate stance as compared to an empathetic stance. And by that I mean compassion involves being with suffering. That's literally what the definition is, compassio, to suffer with. But it doesn't mean that we have to take it personally. So that taking things personally is the critical distinction there. We can be with suffering. We can be totally present with it. But if we think, you know, oh, if we take it personally, we're more likely to put up that protective shield because it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't take it personally, we can realize, oh, you know, this person is suffering, I can be here. And then there's this movement to help, because that's a natural tendency of ours, is in the face of suffering to help when we're not worried about protecting ourselves or being harmed ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a critical distinction. That critical distinction can be fostered with things like mindfulness training, because we can learn to notice what it's like to take things personally, realize that we don't have to take things personally, and in the process, we can move from empathy, which can be fatiguing, into compassion, which is actually life-giving,
mm-hmm.
energy generating.
Yeah, and it is very difficult for, especially, I believe, for physicians. I have several friends that are doctors, and we've actually talked about this, and how they get so burnt out, you know, and they really have to leave town from where most people do leave town when they go on vacation, but I mean, like, really get away where they can truly shut it down, like out in nature, and connect with the healing power of mindfulness, because that can prevent burnout. That's what we're talking about, right?
Absolutely. And this is so common that I actually created a free healthcare provider web course on my website that has two modules that folks can look at, specifically talking about the differences between empathy and compassion and how they can use mindfulness to work with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Lexi had this question. If you're continuously experiencing anxiety and workplace burnout, is that a sign that you need to leave your job? But, you know, when we were talking about it during the break, some people can't leave their job. A physician can't just quit on all of his patients. You know, I can't just quit my job. I have a responsibility to continue and push through difficult times. I think we all do. So would you say, though, there is a breaking point where you should consider, like, changing careers or doing something else if indeed it is too taxing for you?
Yeah, I think it's a very personal decision for everyone. And like you're pointing out, there are a number of factors that contribute there.
Mm-hmm.
But we can certainly, you know, once we have more of a sense for how much, you know, we're just getting caught up in anxiety and worry, which is something we do have control over, and how much is the workplace, then we can make a better decision on whether, you know, it's time to work with our anxiety or it's time to work with the workplace or both.
Yeah. Well, you know, for people out there right now that are listening that may be feeling anxious and they're on their lunch break headed back to work, is there something quick and easy that they can do at their desk if they're feeling anxiety coming on due to their job and the stress related to it?
Certainly, I'm a big advocate for mindfulness.
Yeah.
So even just taking a moment to ground oneself, and, you know, I love the idea of bringing in some curiosity to our physical sensations. This is why we created this whole Unwinding Anxiety program. But when I love this mantra that I find helpful in for my patients, which is, which basically helps people kind of check in with themselves on an experiential level.
So they you tell them to really make that noise? Like, do that?
Yeah, they don't have to do it out loud.
Okay, well, do it again. I wasn't ready for it. I mean, I'm listening to you, of course. We're conversing live. Thousands of people are listening, but I was like taken back. So can you do it again?
Yeah, and I'm going to do it again. And then you check in with your body and
okay.
see what you notice when okay. you listen. We can do it together. Ready?
I'm closing my eyes. Okay, take me through it, Dr. Brewer.
All right, let's do it together. Ready?
That does feel good. I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, it's a simple way to open ourselves to the curiosity, to embody curiosity. And notice how it can even generate, you know, some levity, which is very, always helpful.
Always helpful. A good laugh. Oh, my gosh. I don't think we laugh enough. People are so uptight nowadays. Everybody's arguing about politics and animal rights and, like, all these things are, you know, even the bread on our shelves. I mean, everything's a fight. And so it can be very difficult to navigate and just not burn out, like I said in the beginning, too, even being a mother. Being a mother is so difficult, and you work. If you're a working mother, holy smokes. You know, it's a lot of pressure. Right?
Absolutely.
Well, so we've only got about a minute. What's the main thing, the main message that you want to get through to all of our listeners today if they're suffering from workplace burnout? Where do they begin?
Well, I would say start by really trying to understand what the causes are. You know, is it something personal like anxiety? Is it something workplace related, you know, like a toxic work environment? So that's number one. Number two, see if we can bring some curiosity and kindness to ourselves, right, in those moments to see, are we overreacting? Are we spinning out of control? Are we feeding something that doesn't need to be fed? You know, it's very easy to jump on the complaining bandwagon.
Yeah.
We can step back and ask, oh, is this actually helping or not? And then, of course, I would always advocate for getting some mindfulness training, because we found clinically, you know, our clinical studies show, you know, even app-based mindfulness training is pretty helpful.
Yeah. And I thought I was done, but I do have to make one more point here, because I'm reading there are some extreme, and you're a medical doctor, you know this, there are some extreme consequences, some big consequences of job burnout, aren't there, that are ignored or even unaddressed?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. This is something that we all should really pay attention to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm reading it, and I have to tell you, you're a medical doctor. So I had shingles a couple of weeks ago, and it was all absolutely due to stress. And I'm reading here excessive stress, fatigue, insomnia, sadness, alcohol or substance misuse, heart disease, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, vulnerability to illness. So I think we all need to do that voice thing again. What do we need? For me one more
The mantra, ready?
The mantra, ready.
Hmm.
Yeah, I like that. So so good to be on the air with you. I appreciate your humor and your incredible mind, your wisdom, experience, and the science behind it. Thank you so much, Dr. Judd Brewer. Thank you again.
Thanks for having me.
It was great. It really was. Love your sense of humor. His book is The Craving Mind, From Cigarettes to Smartphones to Love and Why We Get Hooked and How We Can Break Bad Habits. You can find him at drjudd.com or on Instagram at Judd Brewer, right?
I think Instagram's at Dr. Judd.
At Dr. Judd. All right. Because who doesn't like Instagram, right? Wink, wink. Talk about stress, social media. Oh, my goodness. I could talk about that for a couple of hours. So great to have you with us, everyone. Stay tuned. We've got a great show continuing on with Hillary Morse and the ABCs of CBD. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. KetoMed.com. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. To the Mystic. You're killing it on the music today, Diamond. Before we go to our segment, I want to let everyone know that they can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter, or go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. And a big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, Honest Hemp, Keto Med, Nature's Plate, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Thorne Research. We have a dispensary on our website. Check it out at oneliferadio.com. And so it's so great to have Hillary Morse back on the air with us. She is the co-founder of Honest Hemp and currently serves as the CEO. She is a graduate from Cornell University, and Hillary also has 20 years of entertainment publicity experience. Their website is honesthemp.com. Today we're talking about the ABCs of CBD. So great to have you back. How are you doing today, Hillary?
I'm great. It's a beautiful day in Southern California.
Oh, is that where you are? Yum.
Yeah.
I want to be in Southern.
It's fantastic, and I've had a healthy dose of CBD, so I'm just cruising today.
Well, I took my dose this morning, too. I do it pretty much every single day. Once in a while, I'll forget, but it's rare. And I always notice it like, oh, maybe that's why I'm not, you know, feeling as good as I typically do. Maybe I've missed a dose. But CBD has blown up everywhere. You know that as the CEO of Honest Hemp. And so it's everywhere. It really is. It's in so many different products. So many people are still saying, though, oh, it's just a trend. It's going to go away. What do you say to them?
Well, it's not a trend because since we've been handicapped in advertising, we can't, you know, advertise on social media. So it's been a word of mouth phenomenon, meaning people try it, feel something, and tell a friend. So that's not people buying it because of ads. That's people buying it because other people keep telling them it works.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It really is to sit back and watch. I mean, it's a lot of people say, wow, this is like the gold rush. But the thing is it's such an incredible, product because we do have an endocannabinoid system. That it's one of the most important physiological symptoms involved in establishing and maintaining human health. And yet it's been held back from us for so many years. So I love that we are finally getting something that truly helps. And I'm going to say the same thing about Kratom, too. Kratom is an incredible product as well, or a natural leaf from the coffee bean that's been there around for thousands of years, and yet still here in America, the FDA is fighting this. And so, you know, let's talk about the legalities surrounding CBD. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, it's been used in past much older civilizations and cultures. The Mayans used it for healing purposes. So it has been around. And then, you know, when all that reefer madness stuff happened, you know, hemp was thrown in there with it. The legality is that we passed the farm bill on December 20th, so it's federally legal. So if you're a hemp-derived CBD with less than 0.3% THC, you can be sold in every state. It is broken down by state and county. Some states have different laws than other states, but like you can't say CBD on the packaging in certain states.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
And certain counties. So yeah, it's funny how it's regulated, but I think it's for sure here to stay. It's and I've had a front row seat from the get go because I started out working for CW Hemp / Charlotte's Web, the biggest CBD company in the world.
Yeah,
and when I was there, people didn't even know what it was. When I'd say CBD, they were so confused, and stores didn't know what it was, and I couldn't get journalists to write about it. And then cut to 5 years later, you know, Carl's Jr. adds it to a hamburger.
It's crazy.
For a 420, for an April 20th stunt. And you just see it popping up in everything.
Yeah, Charlotte's Web was one of our first sponsors of the show. Even going back, Uber at one time too, you know, because these brands, it's hard, like, as you said, like social media won't even let you advertise it, which is crazy. I didn't even know that till you said it just a minute ago.
It's gotten crazier too. The main payment processor for the hemp industry that was backed by U.S. Bank gave notice to everyone that, and this affected 85% of the hemp business because there were a lot of marijuana companies. There were a few factors, but primarily a lot of marijuana companies were sort of pretending to be CBD companies. And so the banks got too nervous.
Yeah.
So even though it's legal, it's still rocky.
Well, and so many people have misconceptions about it. So let's talk about this because I think people really need to know, and I want to get through these questions that I have so people have clarity at the end of our conversation. So will clients get high, Hillary? What's your answer to that?
No, not if they take it as directed and they're using a respectable brand that is transparent about the THC content.
Okay, and so is hemp oil, is hemp seed oil the same as CBD? Let's go there and define that.
It's not. Hemp seed oil is the nutritional oil that's been around for ages. It's like hemp seeds in your smoothie. CBD oil comes from the flower typically, which is the richest source of CBD in the plant.
The flower of the cannabis plant.
No, we use, you can get it from the cannabis plant or the hemp plant. But to be legal hemp, you have to come from the hemp plant.
Okay. And so I'm just trying to create clarity here for all of our listeners. So you have the hemp plant and you have a cannabis plant. What's the difference? Is it the amount of THC in the two of them that you have specifically cultivated to produce what is whatever type plant that you want and the benefits from it?
Correct. Typically, the main difference is that the cannabis plant is much higher in THC, the thing that gets you high, and lower in CBD. And the hemp plant, why people who wanted to get high didn't like it, is it's very high in CBD and low in THC. We breed the plants so they are up to legal specifications, so they'll have less than 0.3%.
Right. So like the hemp is a power plant, right? And the CBD is an extract from the hemp plant? Okay.
Yeah, it's a component, an ingredient. It's just how caffeine can come from tea, cocoa, coffee. CBD can come from an orange peel, cannabis, hemp. But hemp is the obvious place to get it because it's so rich in CBD.
Okay, so the benefits of CBD. Are you allowed by the federal government yet to talk about the benefits? And if so, what are the ones that you can talk about?
I can't make claims, but I can tell you what everybody says is what we're hearing out there that the benefits are. It's a really powerful antioxidant. It's anti-inflammatory. It has anti-anxiety properties. It's a neuroprotectant, so good for the brain.
Well, and as I'm reading here that CBD makes makes for great sunburn relief and is an anti-inflammatory. It can also help with under-eye puffiness. Is that true?
Well, I use it on my face, and I find it works wonders. Well, I use our peppermint or natural oil on my face.
Oh, nice. Well, I read that out of Dermascope magazine, which is basically the encyclopedia of aesthetics and spa therapy. I used to own a sensory deprivation spa, and I used to get this sent to me all the time, and that's where I read that. But I thought it was so interesting. But if it's true, it's true, right? And so I'm going to start trying to put – I never thought about putting it under my eyes. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, I can speak to my personal experience that it makes me look more youthful.
Nice. And who doesn't want that, right?
And feel younger.
Well, you know what? Whatever works for you, because life is short, and sometimes it can be very stressful. And so I really appreciate you jumping on the air with us today to clarify some of the mystery around CBD. Thank you so much for jumping on with us today, Hillary Morse. She is co-founder of Honest Hemp and the CEO. So great to have you on the air with us.
Thank you. I love coming on.
All right. Well, we'll get you back as soon as we can. Hillary Morse, check out Honest Hemp. Go to honesthemp.com. It's an amazing product. I don't stand behind anything that I haven't checked out or used personally. Always know that. About One Life Radio, and another big shout out to our sponsors, Sun Warrior, Keto Med, Nature's Plate, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, Thorn Research, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Everyone, you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and have some fun.